Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Happy Friday, everybody. It is Friday, June the 24th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and thank you very much for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network with our simulcast partners in Douglas and Globe. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have all of our shows archived there for your 24/7 listening pleasure. Fridays on The Buckmaster Show, we begin with our Friday Focus, featuring a newsmaker interview. Then at the bottom of the hour, it's our Friday Reporters Roundtable. And we'll close out the show with our Weekend Watch with Matt Russell and Mike Fader from the Tucson Padres will be checking in about a big night at the ballpark tonight. Today's Friday Focus newsmaker is with Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers. Mr. Rogers is the chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He's had a very busy week, which we will soon be asking him about. Joining me in the conversation with Mr. Rogers is Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. We invite you to join in the conversation from wherever you are in Arizona, 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Rogers, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
So, a week ago, we had seven Tucson mayoral candidates. Now we have whittled that down to three. You were responsible in the Pima County Democratic Party for the removal from the ballot of three of the four this week. Give us a quick overview.
Well, we challenged the petition's signatures of Ron Asta, a Republican candidate for mayor, and Sean McCluskey, a Republican candidate for mayor, and also of Marshall Holm, who is ostensibly a Democratic candidate for mayor, although spent all of his life registered as a Republican until very recently. We found that a young woman who was related to a woman who had been killed by by Ron Asta's accident. She actually copied our petition, our legal pleadings from the home case, and still had home within the pleadings, and used those same pleadings, which are kind of boilerplate in a way anyway. And it was pretty good idea actually to do that, and she managed to successfully challenge Asta's signatures as well.
So I was correct then in directly responsible for three of the four, and she would be responsible for the removal of the fourth. Sarah Garrett Gaston.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, isn't the whole point of having an election having a bunch of great candidates to choose from, and don't the voters deserve the chance to decide on their own? Or why should the Democratic Party go after the different candidates before they can even get on the ballot? Does this reveal some sort of weakness, I guess I might say, in the candidates that the Democrats are putting forward?
No, not at all. This is probably the strongest candidate we've had for mayor in 20 years or more. I honestly think that Jonathan Rothschild has an opportunity to probably be the finest mayor the city has ever seen. I think the amount of money he's raised and the kind of support he has from across the community, Democrats, Republicans, independents, business leaders, social service leaders, reflects one of the strongest candidates we've ever fielded. But, you know, Arizona has a very low hurdle to get on the ballot, an extremely low hurdle. You just have to have a small number of signatures related to the support of your party. For instance, we needed, in our case, about 1,700 signatures for Mr. Rothschild. We filed twice that number to be safe. In the Republicans' situation, they needed 1,060 valid signatures. We challenged the signatures of Mr. McCluskey, and on their face, they were a mess. I mean, there were people who lived outside in the county but had a Tucson address but don't live within the city limits. There were tons of people who lived in Oro Valley, Green Valley, Sahuarita, Vail. We even had one with a Phoenix address. And there were people who were just not registered at all. And this was typical of all of the signatures that we saw. So you have to show some level of support. That's what the statute is designed to do. There's even a quoted court decision where they talk about to keep cranks off the ballot and keep, you know, and show that we indeed have serious candidates. And this is a very, very low level of support, 1,060 signatures, and he had months to get it. Now we got twice as many for Jonathan Rothschild, actually almost three times as many in a very short period of time. And it just goes to show you that you need to have some minimal level of support and some ability to organize. I mean, if you can't do this simple task, then how competent are you going to be as a mayor?
I was wondering, could you explain a bit about what it means to go out and get these signatures? What do you do? What is the process? Does the candidate, you know, hang out in front of the local supermarkets? What does it mean to go out and get these signatures?
Well, there are a lot of ways to do it. You can pay signature gatherers, and that's what a lot of these people did. We didn't do it, but many of these other candidates do. Those tend to have a lot of invalid signatures. You can wait out in front of supermarkets if they'll let you, but the best way to do it is to create a walking list from voter registration rolls in easily walkable neighborhoods.
And go door to door?
Door to door and knock on the door. And that gives you the second feature of meeting the voters and getting to talk to them about, you know, what their concerns for the city are. And Jonathan did that, and I'd say probably a third of his signatures were gathered by himself, going door to door in households within our community. And that's the way it ought to be done.
It's about 11 minutes now past 12 o'clock. You're listening to Friday Focus. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and Jeff Rogers is with us. Mr. Rogers is the chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. If you would like to ask Mr. Rogers a question, perhaps about this whole petition process, our number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Mr. Rogers, you heard Sean McCluskey on the Buckmaster Show earlier this week. He is taking full responsibility for perhaps delegating that petition process to others, and he said he really should have been a little more active in getting out there and overseeing this.
Well, and he should have been. And what Mr. McCluskey has to understand, as well as these other candidates, this is not anything personal. I mean, my executive director of the Democratic Party stayed after a fundraiser for Mr. Cunningham and met with him and had a beer with him and chatted with him and came back telling me he's just one of the nicest people he's ever met. And that's what I've heard from other people as
Sean
well.
Sean is a nice guy.
Yeah, and so it's not personal, but you know, it's this is the business of politics, and it ain't beanbag. And if you're not tough enough to withstand the scrutiny, then you probably shouldn't be involved in it.
I want to ask about the vetting probably isn't the right word, but the quality of candidates that we have for local races and then state house and state senate races. Because over the years, as part of my job at the Star, you know, you meet a lot of the candidates. And frankly, I come away with wondering, who are these folks? They seem like really well-meaning, earnest, well-intentioned people who don't honestly have a grasp on a lot of the issues, or they have like the big picture, like, oh, we need less corruption or whatever, but not the details. Is there a role, or what does the party do to try to get candidates who have a grounding in what's going on in the state, a grounding in the issues, and not just these sort of big picture la-di-da visionary things that anyone can say?
Well, we take a very active interest. We recruit candidates. We go out and seek people to run even for school board. We consider school board the proving grounds of some of our best candidates who start with school board elections. And we do reach out to people and call them in and say, we think you'd make a fine candidate for this race or that race, and we'd like you to consider running for it. And so we take a very active role in that. We don't do it the way the Republicans did in the last election, sending out, I think, a robocall, which found some of their candidates who were sorely defeated. But we do watch for members of the community that we think are going to make fine public servants and find them and get them to run.
Is this petition process something that's unique to Southern Arizona and Arizona, or is this something that's done in other states about how people get on the ballot?
Over two-thirds of the states have some kind of petition requirement. When in 1976, I participated in a petition drive to get Mo Udall on the Indiana ballot, and that was my first interaction with Arizona, you might say. I did move out here 3 years later, but and we were unsuccessful in that. We didn't get enough signatures in the amount of time that was required. Now, every state has some kind of provision like that. Some states, you just pay a filing fee. In North Carolina, you'll remember there was that controversy over the Senate candidate that emerged out of nowhere, and there was a controversy over who paid his filing fee, which was, I don't know, $10,000 or $15,000. So, you know, I think a filing fee seems to me like it's not very representative of democracy, and some kind of petition signature gathering seems to be more appropriate to show the level of support necessary.
I'm wondering, since Arizona is such a transitory state, we get a lot of people who are here for a short time and then they move on, or they're coming from a vastly different situation, maybe in Massachusetts or Wisconsin or, you know, wherever, and they're not rooted in the community the way a lot of people who have been here for a long time have been. Do you get any sense of, is there a division between the people who have been in Tucson, been in Pima County for a long time, and that, you know, in Tucson terms could mean 5-10 years, or and the people who are here more transitorily, here for a job, here just sort of on a migration sort of pattern, in their politics, is because the shift seems to be more toward the Republicans, and I know that we're in a red state, but is that, does that come into play in our local politics? Are you seeing that?
I don't see that tremendously locally. You know, Democrats have dominated both the county and the city for the entire 32 years I've been here, with just a few exceptions. They've had control of the county board of supervisors and the mayor and council, even if they didn't have the mayor's office itself. So we're kind of the blue island in that red sea that you're talking about. But I think what you see is that the people, voters, tend to be people who are more attached to the community, whether they've been here a short time or a long time. And the longer they've been here, the more likely they are to be voters. So I think that there is that transitory nature. There are a lot of people who don't remember Lou Murphy, and maybe not don't remember or weren't here when George Miller was the mayor. But that's something that's, you know, we all just have to live with. That's the nature of the beast of living in a sunshine state.
We're going to talk more with Jeff Rogers after we take a break. This is Friday Focus. Jeff Rogers is the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. More questions for Mr. Rogers after this.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
On the Buckmaster Show on Fridays, it's Friday Focus. A newsmaker comes in, sits down with myself and one of our reporters' roundtable regulars. Today it's Sarah Garrett Gass on the Arizona Daily Star. Mr. Rogers, Jeff Rogers, is the Pima County Democratic Chair, and he is with us now. We had Steve Farley, the Assistant Minority Leader of the Democrats, Mr. Rogers, on the Buckmaster Show this week, and he thinks Democrats really can make some inroads in this upcoming election based on what happened in the so-called special session that didn't turn out to be so special over unemployment benefits.
Well, I think we're going to make great inroads, and I'm also very, very confident that this Independent Redistricting Commission is going to get it right this time. Every indication is that these people were well recruited and all are very concerned about having competitive districts. And so I think that that, together with the abysmal showing of the state legislature in the past couple sessions, is going to lead to 2012, where Democrats are really going to get to take back. I don't know if we can reach a point of control of either of the houses, but we're going to have a significant number of seats that we're going to win in both of those houses.
Do you think that the Republicans that have been in the state legislature have made an impact in terms of people kind of rethinking? I mean, do you think that there have been people who have moved in their estimation and in their opinion of, oh, well, I voted for them last time, I don't think I'm going to vote for them again?
I think there are huge numbers of voters who are saying to themselves every time they pick up the paper or turn the news on, oh, my God, what have we done to ourselves here in Arizona? I mean, we've become the butt of jokes of, internationally and nationally as well. And I think many, many voters are reconsidering what they thought about the Republicans leading this state.
And why do you think that?
Our polling data, for one, shows it. We should have a new poll going into the field sometime in the next couple of weeks. And just anecdotally, everyone is just shocked at what has happened up there. And I think, as you mentioned with Farley, this special session was just an embarrassment. I mean, it was an embarrassment for everybody. It looked bad for the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate, because they basically thumbed their nose at 15 to 20,000 people who are on unemployment insurance benefits. And that's no welfare program. To qualify for unemployment insurance, you have to show a significant attachment to the labor force through significant work history. And so they're not thumbing their noses at people on welfare and food stamps, although they might be on it soon. These are working people in Arizona. And then the governor looked pretty bad, because even though she called the session and had a good idea to do it, the fact that she called the session and nothing happened made it look like she really is powerless to control these people. The only thing she has to control them is a veto pen, and that is kind of negative, not positive.
The phone number for the Buckmaster Show, the hotline number, 790-2040, 790-2040 for Jeff Rogers, who is the Pima County Democratic Chair. And for those of the Republican folks listening to us, we'll have Brian Miller with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is the counterpart for Mr. Rogers. He is on the Republican side. He is the chair of the Pima County Republicans. That will be Monday on the Buckmaster Show. Let's look ahead to the congressional races. I, for one, believe Gabrielle Giffords continues to make good progress and continues to rally, and I think she will be a candidate for reelection. Would you agree?
I, too, am very optimistic from everything we hear from the people who see her on a daily basis. Her recovery is going to be, you know, far beyond what we might have expected when the incident occurred. So I'm really looking forward to seeing her back in the halls of Congress.
But for the Senate race, her name, of course, had been prominently mentioned. Probably not this time around.
I'm thinking that it's not out of the question, but that the groundwork needs to start being laid sometime soon. And while she's recovered immensely for the last 5 months, I'm not sure that she's going to be in a position to do that. But her staff tells me that when John Kyle decided to resign, she smiled broadly and seemed awfully interested in it. So I wouldn't put anything past her.
And before we go to Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, we are ready with a phone call. So, Mr. Rogers, slip on your headset there, and we'll be able to hear from Marvin, who is disappointed in the city council. Go ahead, Marvin. You're on the Buckmaster Show with Jeff Rogers.
Yes. I've been a Democrat and lived here in Tucson for 40 years and retired from the university. He talks about being very careful in choosing the candidates. I think our city council now, who's made up, I think, of all Democrats, are atrocious. And they got us into, and I live within the city limits, and they got us into these difficulties. And he's telling me they're very careful in choosing their candidates.
Okay, thank you, Marvin. We'll listen now to Jeff Rogers. And, of course, it isn't. The council is not all Democrats.
No, there's 7 members of the mayor and council. The mayor is a Republican. One of the ward members is a Republican. Marvin, when I look back at the seeds of some of the mistakes that have been made with the mayor and council, particularly with regards to some of this Rio Nuevo matter in the downtown area, you have to realize that virtually all of the horrible mistakes were made during de facto Republican control of the mayor and council. It was before Nina Trasoff and Karen Ulick were actually elected to the council, that the mayor and council led by Bob Walkup and what was 3 Dems, 3 Republicans, and an independent who often mostly voted with the Republicans. That was when many of the decisions were made, which led to the problems which this council is now beginning to solve.
And now Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star joins us.
I was just wondering, from your perspective as head of the Democratic Party, in Pima County, could you talk a bit about what you see as the top priority, regardless of party perhaps, for our county? What do we need to do as a county within the state of Arizona, given our legislature, given the budget situation? What do we need to do locally to improve the situation?
Well, I'd separate the county and the city. The county is in pretty good shape right now financially. They've had to bite the bullet a lot because of cost shifts and monies that have been shifted back to the state, which rightfully should have stayed here locally. But I'm confident that the leadership of the county is addressing those issues. And while they can't do some move forward in some ways, they're biting the bullet and doing a very good job. As far as the city goes, we have seen our city laid off no police, no firefighters during a time when cities to the north of us in the great land of Maricopa were laying off hundreds of police officers and firefighters across that valley. So there again, we've had to We have lost some through attrition, which I know everyone hopes to rehire as soon as we possibly can. But they've done a pretty good job of managing one of the worst recessions, well, the worst recession since the Great Depression, and done a remarkable job of it. And I know there's a lot of things complained. I had to have my car realigned the other day because of the numerous potholes I hit, and we're all upset about that. But you know, they had to make some difficult decisions, and police and fire and parks and recreation and a few other things were core services that had to be protected.
We're speaking with Jeff Rogers, and we'll be going to the phone very shortly. It's 12:28, and Sarah Garrett-Gaston is with me as we're speaking with Jeff Rogers. We talked a little bit about Congress and the Senate race. What's the big issue going to be in the three contested ward elections here in the city of Tucson, as far as you're concerned?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to boil down to competence. And, you know, while, again, it's not personal, we need competent people in these offices. And as we look across the board, Regina Romero has been a fine city council person who's done an outstanding job during the most difficult time in Tucson's history. So we think she deserves to be reelected. Shirley Scott has shown herself to be a wonderful moderate who has looked out for her district and her ward and done more for her ward than anyone ever previously has, and deserves re-election. And Paul Cunningham is the recent appointee. We think is also going to be an outstanding person for the job and will work well with our new mayor.
Jeff Rogers, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great weekend. Thanks. Friday Roundtable is coming up. We'll be right back. This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The House has turned back a Republican attempt to cut off money for the military operation in Libya. It came after lawmakers rejected a largely symbolic measure giving the president authority to continue U.S. involvement in the mission against Muammar Gaddafi. North Dakota's governor says the Souris River is flowing over most of the levees in Minot as it surges past a 130-year-old record level. State lawmakers in New York are working to clear away other business, making way for a possible vote on whether to legalize same-sex marriage in New York State. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down about 112 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index off 37, the S&P 15 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanker Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanker Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on KVOI AM 1030 and our voice network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Every Friday about this time, we have our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We bring in two reporters to talk about the top stories of the week. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Dylan Smith is with us for the first time, and we welcome him. He is the publisher and editor of the TucsonSentinel.com, a nonprofit online news service. And Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star stays over from our interview with Jeff Rogers. Again, we welcome you to join in the conversation from anywhere in Arizona. Call 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dylan, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks for having me.
I think you're doing a great job with that, TucsonSentinel.com. For folks that don't know about it, what is it in one or two sentences?
Well, we're a locally focused nonprofit news organization. We're trying to give my counterpart across the table here a little bit of run for their money.
So let's get right into it. Sarah, it was we heard Jeff Rogers talking about the mayoral race. This really, you have to wonder, how could the Republicans not come up with a candidate for the mayor of the city of Tucson?
Yeah, it's not like it was a surprise. I mean, that the election's coming and that you need the signatures, and you might want to have a candidate who can gather the signatures from the people who are qualified to sign the petitions because they're qualified to vote in the election, living in the city, being a registered voter, all that. It's just sort of befuddling that they could not get their act together enough to come up with a candidate. I mean, Sean McCluskey has been through this before. The Republican Party did not seem to get its act together in the sense that there was a big organized effort like the Democrats had with Jonathan Rothschild. They sort of just seemed shocked and stunned that it didn't come together the way that I guess they hoped it would. But when you have such a low benchmark to gather petition signatures and you can't get it together enough to get qualified petition signers from the city where you're trying to run to be mayor and you're getting them from other municipalities? I mean, hello. It should not be a surprise.
Dylan, you sat in on the court hearings this week. Some of your impressions.
Well, it's not unusual for plenty of signatures to be found invalid. I won't name names because I haven't quite nailed it down, but I hear a couple of the Democratic candidates were a little close on their valid signatures. But it certainly is unusual to have four candidates be kicked off the ballot by a judge. Usually if somebody doesn't have enough cigs, they end up withdrawing. I think Dave Crotto did a couple of years ago when he didn't manage to gather enough for a race in 2009.
And it's odd, Dylan, that the only primary we'll have
would be the Green primary.
The Green Party with Dave Croteau and
Mary DeCamp.
Mary DeCamp. Thank you very much. We had Dave on the program yesterday. And of course, as I recall, Dylan, it was Dave and Mayor Walkup were the only two had the candidates four years ago in the mayoral race.
The last mayoral race, the Democrats didn't even attempt to gather signatures for the mayoral race.
I mean, is this something weird about Tucson or?
I don't know. People love to complain about the yahoos who are on the city council or in the mayor's seat, but then they can't get their act together to come up with good candidates to – and I know Jeff Rogers talked about how they vetted them and they're great candidates, but I'm sorry. That's just not – the case, and on both sides. I'm not just picking on Democrats. I'm picking on Republicans too. And it's, I don't know if it's unique to Tucson. It's probably not, but it is just a sorry state of affairs for our city.
It is a fairly thankless job being on the city council or being mayor. Doesn't pay all that much. It's not a part-time job. I mean, those people generally have to work another full-time job and put in full-time hours trying to help our city not fall apart.
And then you get people like me sitting on the radio, you know,
yeah.
criticizing everything you do.
That's our job.
Yeah, it is.
It's 12:39. This is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith is with us from the TucsonSentinel.com. Check out their site. He's got a really good site. And Sarah Garrett Gasson is with the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan, what about John McCain? Is he getting a bad rap here about a comment that he made concerning the horrible fires in Arizona? I know a lot of the Latino activists are really furious with John McCain for the comment he made after touring the enormous Wallow fire in eastern Arizona.
Well, I think yes and no. McCain's comment has been sort of spun by all of the national media as relating to the Wallow fire, and it is a fairly ridiculous supposition that that fire was started by an illegal alien. He was actually talking about all the fires that have been going on in southern Arizona, and of course we really don't know who started any of those yet. They're all being investigated. One could, fairly easily conjecture about the Monument Fire, given the place that it started, but we don't know one way or another.
I do think that Senator McCain, and I need to just point out that it's not just Latino activists that are criticizing McCain. It goes across the board. People who think that what he was saying was maybe it was taking advantage of a political. Taking political advantage of a horrible situation and a tragedy that happened to an awful lot of people, and just a bad turn of phrase, but pouring gasoline on the fire, and just the idea that why make it worse? We know that, or I guess the fire authorities are saying that they do believe it's human caused, given the. Where some of the fires are located.
You're talking about the fires down near Sierra Vista.
Yeah, and I do believe the Wallow Fire as well. Although, okay. I mean, are people
that
really...
That is supposed to be human-caused, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Are they really supposing that people are migrating across the desert and then cruising on up to northern Arizona for a nice little vacation before they go on to whatever low-paying job they end up in Oklahoma? It just makes no sense. But the idea that they're human-caused. The location, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone who is crossing illegally or a smuggler started a fire. But to step into it and say, oh, well, you know, these are illegal immigrant-caused, and then for Sheriff Deaver in southern Arizona to just—
Cochise County Sheriff,
yes,
Larry Deaver.
To kind of back it up just adds a whole other layer of rhetoric and drama and political posturing that we just don't need. People lost their homes. They lost everything they had, and we need to focus on that, not trying to score political points one way or the other.
The small fire that started on Fort Huachuca was actually sparked by a bulldozer that was helping create a fire line to stop the Monument Fire.
I think that was an illegal bulldozer.
building the dang fence may well be just as dangerous as having illegal aliens start fires.
Yeah. Were you down? Did you go down to Sierra Vista?
I did not.
You didn't. But it was really, really, from what I saw, I mean, the pictures in the Star, and you had some incredible photos, too, on the your site, TucsonSentinel.com, and people listening to this show, because of the wide reach of our powerful station here, are listening to us down in Cochise County, and it is really a disaster down there around Sierra Vista.
Oh, it's just heartbreaking. And I was reading back over some stories, and Brady McCombs from The Star had a story about this very topic back at the beginning of June about how people are trying to blame illegal migrants or smugglers for the start of this fire. And one man who had lost everything, I think, in one of the fires, and I'm just going to read a quote from him. He said, "This fire has been real devastating. To sit back and place blame about who caused it is moot, because from his point of view, does it really matter who caused it? His home is gone. People's businesses are gone. It's just a human tragedy all the way around. People may or may not recover. It's just we need to focus on them and helping them and not all the surrounding drama and everything that keeps us going."
And it brings up the whole argument about the Forest Service and their policies over the last 100 years. At looking at some of these fires, do they really – the fire suppression, Dylan, do they go after it, or do they do the thinning? I mean, this argument came up when we had the Mount Lemmon fires.
It's a long-term problem.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a century and a half, really, across the country of trying to stomp out every single fire that comes up. And these are ecosystems both in the forests and in the grasslands that are really designed to burn. That's what helps regenerate them. That's what nature does. I'm not a forest scientist, so I don't really have the perfect answer. But obviously what we've been doing isn't working all that well.
And there is, and I've just been reading and hearing about this, an effort up in the Flagstaff area between some environmentalists and people who companies that use forest products, and they're working together and it shows that if entities that have traditionally been opposed, you know, protect the forest at all costs, no, we want to, and have been portrayed as diametrically opposed in their efforts, can come together and work together, they can work to save healthy forests and accomplish all goals together. So I think that's something that we could learn from.
I want to switch to the Arizona Daily Star editorial. I'm not sure if you wrote this or your colleague, Jane C. White, about the Arizona Board of Regents, Sarah, putting forth the right idea for progress. We had Rick Myers on the Buckmaster Show this week. He's the regent who represents the Tucson area on the Arizona Board of Regents. And of course, the regents are charged with overseeing the three state universities. Do you see some hope for the universities? I mean, it's been pretty bleak over the last 5 years, and many said that one of the reasons Dr. Shelton was so anxious to get out of the University of Arizona is basically when he came here 5 years ago, he was handed the scissors and said, you know, start cutting.
Right. Well, I have to say up front that I am an adjunct instructor in the journalism department.
Okay.
And I don't know if I have a class next semester because they don't know if they have an adjunct budget for next semester. So just to get that conflict of interest up and out of the way. But just some facts. We're at the 1979 spending level. The state kicks in about 8% in general fund money as part of the overall U of A budget. I was not the one who wrote the editorial. My colleagues did. I think the goals are fantastic. I think they're great. They're right on. The U of A's graduation rate is sad. We don't do enough to keep kids in school. We don't do enough to keep freshmen coming back as sophomores, sophomores coming back as juniors, and then seniors not coming back as seniors again and again and again as their careers go on. But it's the kind of thing that within the university, people are really disheartened because there's not a light at the end of the tunnel. It's the kind of thing where there's these goals and these benchmarks that they're supposed to get to, and I'm sure everyone's on board with, yes, we want to improve, we need to improve, but then how do you get there?
Only got less than a minute to go, Dylan Smith. It's interesting. Mr. Myers corrected me when I said that Mr. Eugene Sander, was going to be an interim president. No, he is the 20th president of the University of Arizona. And you have to wonder if the University of Arizona even has the money to hire a 21st president.
Yeah, they certainly seem to have the money to go out and recruit people in the athletic department. We'll see how well they do in their effort to get somebody to try and run the thing for, at least a few years.
Okay. Dylan Smith has been with us from TucsonSentinel.com and Sarah Garrett-Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. We're coming up on 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah and Dylan, thank you for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Stay cool if possible, right? We'll be back with Weekend Watch.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery,
on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
.53 on the Buckmaster Show, and of course that music signals Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. We will be joined by Matt Russell, Tucson publicist and dedicated foodie about town. Matt will be joining us in a couple of minutes, but first, a little Weekend Watch extra with Mike Fader from the Tucson Padres. Mike, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing real well, and a big night out at the ballpark tonight. Our friends here at KVOI, Faith and Family Night.
Yeah, it's really simple. Two things are going on. One, the first 2,000 fans are going to get an Anthony Rizzo, who is our young star player that got called to the big leagues. It's a digitally autographed photo, and that's for adults. That's when the gates open at 6. Two, if people go to the KVOI.com website, they're going to see a big baseball right in the front. Click on that. You can print a coupon, 4 tickets for $16.
Ooh, that's a buy.
You got to buy a minimum of 4. Anything over and above the 4 is an additional $4. Normally, an adult general admission ticket is $6.50. So we just wanted to say thanks to all the great people at Good News Communications and KVOI. So click on it and check it out. It's a great deal. Fireworks on Saturday, military night on Sunday.
And, of course, there is a big ball game. The Padres are taking on the Sacramento River Cats. I love that, the River Cats.
Yeah, they're a pretty good team, too. They have the best record in the entire Pacific Coast League, and it was nice to be able to finally beat them last night. But they're a good team. They're the Oakland A's Farm Club. And it's, you know, the Tucson Padres, I'll tell you one thing. We swing the bat, and we can score some runs. So hopefully we can get on a little roll the next 2 months.
So we're a couple of months into the Padre organization since its inception. How would you characterize it, Mike?
Work in progress. I'm really happy with the weekends, still a little disappointed with the weekdays. That's on us to make it better. So I think we're getting there. Last night, for example, we had 4,400. Tomorrow for the fireworks show, we're expecting over 6,000 people. The 4th of July is always a gigantic fireworks show. We'll probably have 10,000 people. So I think knowing that we had 3 months, 4 months to put this together, I'm very pleased in where we are.
Thank you so much, Mike Fader. Always a pleasure. Mike Fader from the Tucson Padres, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Tell Matt I'm sorry I cut into his time.
Oh, no. We'll give you a little time anytime. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And go to that Faith and Family Night at TEP Ballpark tonight. Click on KVOI.com and get the coupon there, and then you can go out to the ballpark and some big savings. Now we bring in Matt Russell. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great. I just finished up a delicious lunch over here at La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill. Fresh carnitas tacos with every kind of color of the rainbow. Beautiful salsa here at Speedway and Country Club. I have had a beautiful lunch, Bill.
I can tell, and I know, Matt, there's no better mood than a mood after you have had a great lunch or a great dinner. I mean, I know of no one in Tucson. Actually, I don't know of anyone who enjoys eating as much as you do, and you do not gain any weight. I don't know how you do it.
I take my culinary art and science very seriously, Bill.
Now, for the dedicated foodie community, this is a big weekend. It's something called the Iron Chef Culinary Experience.
Absolutely. This is a big, big moment for foodies. Tomorrow and Sunday, from 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the Grand Ballroom of the Los Ventana Canyon Resort, is the Iron Chef Weekend. It starts Saturday and Sunday, as I said, from 10 to 5 with this thing called Culinary Experience, sponsored by Ferguson Bath and Kitchen and Stella Artois. This is really an interactive playground for all of Tucson foodies. You can learn cooking techniques from local chefs. You can check out the latest kitchen equipment and food gadgets and get great ideas for in-home and outdoor entertaining. You can walk around and sample great beer and great food samples and see chefs actually doing what they do best right there on site. Again, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 up at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort, the culinary experience. This is something that all foodies need to check out.
And I know the foodies are very interested in who the chef is at a particular restaurant, so this is a big deal. And this Iron Chef competition, can you give us a few of the chefs who are involved in this year's competition?
Absolutely. The whole weekend concludes on Sunday at 6 o'clock for the annual Iron Chef competition. There's going to be two chefs here in Tucson going sort of knife to knife, as it were. You've got Chef Stephen Schultz from the Red Sky inside Luna Bella is going to be going up against Chef Ryan Clark from the Lodge on the Desert. They're going to face off to see who has the chops that it requires to become the Iron Chef this year. I myself, I'm going to be one of the celebrity judges this year, so I've got my work cut out for me. They actually reveal a secret ingredient 5 minutes before the competition starts, and the chefs will have 1 hour to produce a four-course meal, and each of the courses, Bill, has to include some representation of that secret ingredient. So it's creativity manifests right before your eyes in a 60-second time clock. It's fascinating.
Wow, very cool. And Matt, I have a suggestion. Make sure you go with an empty stomach.
Yeah, I have to. I really have to do that. You know, we have to be completely responsible to our chefs and come hungry and come very truthful about how good things are, how things might need work. But these are two great chefs in Southern Arizona, so I'm really looking forward to how creative they are in terms of coming up with their four courses with just an hour's time.
Is it kind of a secret then? I guess you have no idea what kind of a meal they're going to be preparing before.
No, I mean, I'll give you a hint. Last year's secret ingredient was bratwurst. So the chefs had an hour to produce a four-course meal, and each of the courses had to have bratwurst incorporated into it somehow. That's where you really see the creativity manifest.
Ooh, there'll be some heat in the kitchen.
Anyway, you could go to IronChefTucson.com. Again, IronChefTucson.com for all the information to get the tickets. If you're a foodie, you have to be up at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort this weekend.
Oh, what a great weekend. We got baseball tonight. We got Iron Chef competition at Lowe's. Thank you so much, Matt Russell. Now you can go back to the pool. You've had a great meal and maybe an afternoon beverage or something, but be safe. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by our good friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, our lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, and our lovely and talented marketing director, Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend. See you Monday at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.